All glory to some of the devotees. All glory to some of the devotees. All glory to some of the devotees. Oh, I was told to speak on the previous verse. But anyway, it's okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, Text Number 20. Mandavya Sapad Bhagavan Praja Sangyamano Yamaha Bratu Kshetre Bhujasyayam Jata Satyavati Sutat Mandavya Sapat Bhagavan Prajasang Yamano Yamaha Bratu Kshetre Bhujasyayam Jata Satyavati Sutat Mandavya Sapad Bhagavan Prajasang Yamano Yamaha Bratukshetre Bhujisyayang Jata Satyavati Sutat Mandavya Sapad Bhagavan Prajasang Yamano Yamaha Bhatukshetri Bhujisyayang Jata Satyavati Sutat Mandavya Sapad Bhagavan Prajasang Yamano Yamaha Bhatukshetri Bhujisyayang Matajis. Matajis. Jata Satyavati Sutat Mandavya, the great Rishi Mandavya Muni Sapat, by his curse. Bhagavan, the greatly powerful. Praja, one who was born. Sunyamanaha, controller of death. Yamaha, known as Yamaraj. Bratuhu, of the brother. Kshetre, in the wife. Bhujishyayam, kept. Jataha, born. Satyavati, Satyavati, the mother of both Vichitravirya and Vyasadeva. Sutat, by the son, Vyasadeva. Translation and purport, by his divine grace. Srila Prabhupada ki. I know that you are now Vidura due to the cursing of Mandavya Muni, and that formerly you were King Yamaraj, the great controller of living entities after their death. You were begotten by the son of Satyavati, Vyasadeva, and the kept wife of his brother. Purport. Mandavya Muni was a great sage, and Vidura was formerly the controller Yamaraj, who takes charge of the living entities after death. Birth, maintenance, and death are three conditional states of the living entities who are within the material world. As the appointed controller, after death, Yamaraj once tried Mandavya Muni for his childhood profligacy and ordered him to be pierced with a lance. Mandavya, being angry at Yamaraj for awarding him undue punishment, cursed him to become a Sudra, member of the less intelligent laborer class. Thus Yamaraj took birth in the womb of the kept wife of Vichitravirya from the semen of Vichitravirya's brother, Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is the son of Satyavati by the great king Shantanu, the father of Bhishma Dev. This mysterious history of Vidura was known to Maitreya Muni because he happened to be a contemporary friend of Vyasadeva. In spite of Vidura's birth from the womb of a kept wife, because he had otherwise high parentage and great connection, he inherited the highest talent of becoming a great devotee of the Lord. To take birth in such a great family is understood to be an advantage for attaining devotional service. Vidura was given this chance due to his previous greatness. Om Jnanatamanandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vukram Kotavacha Lung Pungun Lung Hayate Gurim Yat Kripa Tadaham Bande Shigurum Dinatadanam Vancha kapatribhyascha kripa sindhu devacha patitanam bhavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Here we're seeing the strictness of karma. What we do comes back to us. Mandavya Muni was a sage, but he was pierced by a lance. And when he went to Yamaraj to ask why has this happened to me, he said, when you were a child, you pierced an insect with the grass, so therefore you were pierced. Amazing, huh? So people don't know that whatever they do, some people do, but a lot of people don't know that whatever they do, it comes back to them. Karma. And one reason they don't believe in karma or don't believe in God is because they don't want to take responsibility for their action. They can just think, no, I'll just do whatever I want. There's no punish me. There's no supreme controller that's going to judge me. But no. Everything we do is being watched. I remember when I was a young child, my mother used to say, you be careful because God, He's watching you. God watching you. But there's Paramatma watching everything. Everything is being tallied up. Everything we do. So therefore it's very healthy for us spiritually to think of Krishna. To always think of Krishna. Sahaniyasthan Mahachitam Samahasa Chavibhama. But the greatest loss, the greatest anomaly, and the greatest illusion is to not think of Krishna for a moment. So Prabhupada has come to give us this nice spiritual science so that we can think of Krishna. And if we think of Krishna, and we think of Krishna, and we think of Krishna, and at the time of death we think of Krishna, then we go back to Krishna. And this is the highest goal, is to go back to Krishna. And in the spiritual world, there's so many wonderful devotees. Everyone is a pure devotee. Imagine going to a place, imagine living in a place where everyone is a pure devotee. Everyone is thinking of Krishna. And what's most attractive is that Krishna is there. The most attractive person. So this is our future if we do our activities properly. Karmana dhaivanetrina janta deho papati. According to our own activities, according to the sanction of Krishna, everyone gets a certain result. So we're getting so much guidance from Srila Prabhupada, so that we can do things properly. Like this word karma, a lot of people don't have an understanding of this word karma. They think it just means bad karma. But there's three different aspects of karma. There's karma, which just means activity. And if we do activities that are just in the mode of goodness, without God in the picture, just if someone is just in the mode of goodness, a very good person, Krishna is so liberal that such a person could actually go to the heavenly planet if they're just in the mode of goodness. This is how liberal Krishna is. So that's karma, activity. Then there's vikarma. Vikarma means activity by which we get a negative reaction. And this is where people go to suffer for their sinful activities, the hellish planets. If people knew of the hellish planets like we know in the fifth canto, people would be very reluctant to do many of the things that they're doing. There's a lot of really hellish places down below that people are going to be going to because of their sinful activities. So this is negative reaction due to their sinful activities. Vikarma. And then there's akarma. Akarma means that one is doing activities just for the pleasure of Krishna. Akarma, just acting for Krishna. So this is the goal. To just act for Krishna. And Krishna says, Yat kroshi, yat asnasi, yat jahosi dadasi, yat kupasyasi kaunteya, tat krusha madarpanam. Actually, Prabhupada says this is the summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities you perform, should be done as an offering to me. This is the summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita. So everything we do should be done for Krishna. And we're being taught what to do. It's like Prabhupada said, if you want to please me, then distribute books. So this is the most pleasing thing that we can do to please Krishna. Because believe it or not, Krishna, he is feeling a little pain. Because so many of his parts and parcels are here suffering. Just like a father has many sons, and some of them are good sons, and some of them become bad, and they're out, and they're becoming degraded, and drinking, and womanizing, and smoking, and doing all kinds of illegal activities. So the father feels pain, because that son, it's part of him. His son. So we're all sons and daughters of Krishna. And we're suffering here in this material world. So it gives pain. So Krishna comes to help us. He comes and he gives us the Bhagavad Gita, the great Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says in one purport, Bhagavad Gita is the most beautiful thing in the world. So he comes and gives us this knowledge so that we can wake up from this illusion that we're this material body. That there's no God. That we're the enjoyer. We're the proprietor. So Krishna comes to help us in so many ways. He sends his pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So many great devotees Krishna, he sends to help us. And we get Krishna Prasadam, Prabhupada said the secret weapon to purify us. So Krishna is very kind. He has many qualities, many wonderful qualities, unlimited qualities, wonderful qualities. But the one quality that sticks out more than any other quality of Krishna is, anybody know? Huh? Yes. Compassion. Merciful, yeah. Krishna is very compassionate. So although we come here, we want to forget Krishna, we want to be Krishna, out of his compassion he comes to help us, to purify us. So all that we do, all that we eat, we're so fortunate we get such nice prasadam. Now the restaurant is going again. It's much better now than it was. Yeah, very good. Improving. So prasadam. Mahaprasadam. Actually, Srila Prabhupada says there's three things that are very powerful in this world. That is the remnants that is left by the pure devotee. The water that has washed the feet of the pure devotee, and the dust from the feet of the pure devotee. These are three very powerful things. I remember hearing how Indradyumna Swami, back then he was Indradyumna Das in Paris. He was a big Sankirtan devotee there. And Prabhupada was visiting. And the temple president said, whoever wins the marathon and gets to bathe the feet of Srila Prabhupada. So he got to bathe the feet of Prabhupada. And after he bathed the feet of Prabhupada, he took that water up into his room. And there was one other devotee and one other Sankirtan devotee. They went into the room, and there was a big pot of water. And devotees were banging on the door. They wanted some of that water. And they were just guzzling it. And Indradyumna Swami said to his friend, "Do you hear anything?" "No, I don't hear anything." And they're banging on the door. You know, "Come on, give us some of the mercy." So he attributed that to a lot of the success that he has in his Krishna consciousness. He's doing so much. It's amazing. So the mercy of the pure devotee is very powerful. And it's not that that's the only way to get the mercy of the pure devotee. By pleasing the pure devotee, we get the mercy. By going out and distributing books, we get the mercy of Krishna. Because people don't know what to do. Just like all of us, we didn't know what to do. We had no idea what to do. We were doing so many sinful activities, so much nonsense. And then somehow, by the mercy of Krishna, we came in contact with Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, ISKCON Society. And now we learned. We've learned what to do. Chant, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." This is the best thing we can do. Because if we just do that, we become inspired to do so many other things for Krishna. So many things. So many wonderful activities are going on in this society. Because devotees are chanting Hare Krishna. What does the mantra mean? We're praying to Krishna, "Please, Krishna, engage me in your service." Prabhupada said that we should chant the holy name like a child crying out to the mother. I was in the Miami airport maybe 35 years ago, distributing books, and this child had somehow lost the mother, father, maybe a two-year-old child, running around screaming for mother. And I was like, "Well, okay, I guess that's how we should chant." like a child crying out to the mother. So we should fervently pray to Krishna. For what? For service. And either we're serving Krishna or we're serving Maya. And we've all had the experience of serving Maya. Not so nice. We get the kicks. We get the kicks of Maya. Not pleasant. But if we serve Krishna, then we eventually get the loving embrace of Krishna. Like that, you know, that story of Gopakumar. He finally got back to Goloka Vrindavan and he received the loving embrace of Krishna. So this is the future. If we take this very seriously, Prabhupada said, if we're just serious and sincere, then we'll receive the mercy of Krishna. So Prabhupada uses these two words quite a bit, actually, if you look in his books and his lectures also. But they're very similar. So I looked it up in the dictionary. What's the difference? Sincere means thoughtful. Sincere means thoughtful. Or no, excuse me. That's serious. Sincere means obedient. Was it? Is that it? Now it's been a while since I looked it up. Sincere Genuine, there it is. Genuine. Sincere means genuine. Serious means thoughtful. Genuine. In other words, I want to please. I just want to please Krishna. Genuine. There's no, desire for me. No selfish desire. I just want to please Krishna. That's genuine. Yeah. And thoughtful. When we're reading Prabhupada's books, we shouldn't just read them like we're reading a novel or something. Prabhupada said to one devotee who was reading it, you should feel. He said, you should feel what you're reading. He said to one Mataji who was reading Prabhupada's books, you should feel it. Try to really absorb. So these books, if we just read these books with the desire to understand and to follow and to absorb the teachings, then we'll grow so much in our devotional life. And Prabhupada himself, he would read his books. And devotee one time said, Prabhupada, you're reading your own book. And what did Prabhupada say? Krishna has written these books. He was getting dictation from Krishna. So these aren't ordinary books. Spoken by God, Krishna, the song of God, Bhagavad Gita. So wonderful. So we're so fortunate. But we don't want to just absorb this good fortune ourselves. We want to share it with others. Sarva sikino bhavantu means that we want to see everyone become happy. What a great mission, huh? We want to see everyone become happy. Of course, that's a big challenge. But so many people have become happy by chanting Hare Krishna. There's one devotee, he was distributing books. And he was speaking to this one lady, and she was a little depressed. So he distributed a book to her and asked for a donation. And she said, well, I could only give you $5. And he said, that's okay. But I want you to read this book, and I also would like you to chant this mantra. This mantra is very powerful. It's very purifying. If you just chant this mantra, you'll become very happy. And she said, okay. So she went to the park nearby, and she was just chanting this Hare Krishna mantra. And she came back, and she said, you know, I only gave you $5. I have another $10 that I want to give you. I was going to use that on drugs. But I've been chanting this happy mantra you just gave me for the past hour. And I'm so happy. I was dancing when I was chanting this mantra. You've given me a happy mantra. So I don't need the drugs anymore. I'll just chant this happy mantra. So that's what it is. It's a happy mantra. If we chant this mantra sincerely, we're going to become very happy. Yeah. We're going to become self-realized. We're going to realize, hey, I'm not this lump. I'm not this bag of so many organs and blood and all these things. No, I'm the soul within. I'm part of Krishna. And my happiness is in serving Krishna. Now we've come to this world, become conditioned, and we're not experiencing the happiness that we should be experiencing because we've become diseased. Just like this finger here. This finger is very useful to the body. Our fingers are very useful, right? But if it gets diseased, if it gets a big boil on it or something, then it's not useful. And it's a burden because you have to be very careful. You know? And if you had boils, I used to get these in Miami. We had these mango trees, and we used to eat a lot of mangoes, and you get boils from mangoes. You know? So I used to get these terrible boils, and they're terrible. So if you got a boil on your finger, then it's you got to be very careful with yours. You can't touch it to anything. It becomes a nuisance, actually. So we've become disconnected from Krishna, so we become a problem. You know? And sometimes even a nuisance. Say, I remember in Miami Airport, I was distributing books, and this guy, Hare Krishna, this guy was not appreciating the devotees. So he would distribute a book, or we would distribute a book to someone, and this person would he was so nasty that he would go up to the person afterwards and ask, "Do you want this book?" And sometimes they would say, "Well, yeah, I want it." And sometimes they would say, "No." And he would, "Well, can I have it if you don't want it?" He said, "Yeah, you can." And he would go right in front of the devotees and rip it in half in front of the devotees. Big demon. You know? And then he would come by also and he would just blaspheme the devotees, you know, just really, really dark soul. So after he did that the second time, I thought, all right, I can't take this anymore. So in the airport in Miami, we had some undercover cops that were favorable. They were our friends. So I went up to one other undercover cop and I said, "You know, we got this crazy guy over here. He's ripping our books in front of our face." And he said, "Oh yeah, show me. Take me to him." So we're walking towards this guy, and this guy comes up to the undercover cop and says, "Hey, don't take a book from these guys. This is a cult. These guys are cheating. You know, the money is all going to the guru." And the cop pulls out his badge and says, "You got 2 seconds to get out of my face, or I'm going to take you to jail." And the guy's jaw just went. He just took off running. It's nice to have friendly cops on our side. Yeah. So, yeah, there's people out there that aren't favorable. They're in the darkness of illusory energy. Yeah. But there's many people out there that are also very, very favorable. They're looking for God. They're looking for Krishna. So we have to be out there giving people the opportunity to hear the glories of Krishna. And this will bring them happiness. So all that you do, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities we perform, should be done as an offering to me. So this austerity is the wealth of the brahmanas. Austerity is good. Prabhupada wrote a letter to one Gurukul teacher. "Teach the boys the joy of austerity." So austerity is good. And what Krishna says, what is that? That which is bitter in the beginning and nectar in the end is the mode of goodness. Yes. So it may be bitter in the beginning. Like some devotees, they were on book distribution. It's so difficult. But many of them continued on, just like this Gauri. She used to live here. She was a book distributor here. And she was very shy. And she wasn't distributing near as many books as the other ladies because she had this shyness. But she prayed to Krishna like anything, "Krishna, please take this shyness away so I can distribute your books." And Krishna did. And she became the first Mataji in the movement to distribute 100 books in one day. Amazing, huh? Krishna fulfills desires. Of course, when she came back, she was shy again. What was it Prabhupada said? That lion on the chase, a lamb at home. Yeah. So she became a lion. Distributing so many books. So yeah, so this may be austere, but it's good. Krishna's pleased. If we can just please Krishna, then this is the perfection of our life. And we're getting so much guidance on how to please Krishna. So, is there any question? Yes. Ananda Kirtan Prabhu, one of our great warriors in ISKCON book distribution.
Hare Krishna. I was wondering if you can help me, help my mind clarify the family lineage of everything that took place in the purport. So, Yamaraj was cursed to become Vidura. Can you just explain the whole thing? Because in the purport it says, Yamaraj took birth in the womb of the kept wife of Achyutavirya from the semen of Achyutavirya's brother Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is the son of Satyavati by the great sage Parashara, and Achyutavirya is the son of the same Satyavati by the great king Shantanu. So Satyavati was in, seems like she was impregnated by two different people at two. Can you just clarify the whole thing? I'm a little bit confused.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Because it says by Vyasadeva, Vyasadeva's brother, Vyasadeva, then Vyasadeva is the son of Satyavati by the great King Shantanu.
No, Parashara.
Huh? Yeah,
but their both their mothers are Satyavati.
Okay. So, do you understand that, Archita? Archita,
it's gonna. It's very clear. I mean, it's all explained in the Mahabharata. You know, Satyavati was the daughter of a fisherman. When she was young, she was out fishing, and Parashara Muni was attracted. So he created a fog and he impregnated her. But because he was powerful, he kept her virginity. So Vyasadeva was born of that union. Then later on, she married Shantanu. And from Shantanu, she gave birth to Vichitravirya. So Vichitravirya and Vyasadeva, you could say, are half-brothers. Same mother, but different father. Mm. Which is unusual in Vedic culture. Usually, it's the same father and different mothers. But in this case, it was the same mother and different fathers.
Okay.
And then later on, when Vichitravirya was killed by the Gandharva, then Satyavati called Vyasadeva to continue the lineage. So he impregnated, you know, Vichitravirya had the wives Amba, Ambalika, yeah, and Ambika. So Vyasadeva impregnated. First one was Dhritarashtra, born blind because the mother closed the eyes during the act of copulation. And then the second one was Pandu. The mother became pale because Vyasadeva, you know, being a sage coming out of the forest, he was not the most attractive guy. So she became pale and blanched, and so Pandu was born. And then the third wife, the client, she sent her maidservant instead, and that's where Vidura took birth. He took birth from the maidservant.
She was here, pure.
You hear it's mentioned as a kept wife, but she was all actually a maidservant of the wife.
Mm-hmm. So that she was pure. She was more innocent, yeah, and pure, and therefore
yeah,
Vidura.
Right. So yeah. Vidura was born that way. So it's all very clear. It's all explained in Mahabharata. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay, I have one more question. So it says that Yamaraj, he takes charge of the living entities after death. So he awards them their karma, whether it's good or bad. Before I joined the temple, I used to watch this show. It was like, it was a show documenting real people.
It was what?
It was a show documenting real people who had died, but then they came back to life. Like, medically speaking, they had died, they flatlined, and they had near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, but then they would come back in their body. And a couple of them actually like confirm what it says in the fifth canto. I remember this one guy, he went to the hellish planets, and he was seeing like all these reptilian type of creatures that were torturing him, and he had a body where he had to suffer greatly, but he wouldn't die. And at one point, his whole body would turn to ashes from fire, but then his body would rejuvenate. And it says that in the fifth canto, actually, that they have bodies that suffer, but they don't die. Because if they die, then the suffering is gone. But they continue to suffer because the body is rejuvenated, even if it's burnt to ashes. But there was a few cases where it was a little bit confusing because these people are not devotees that are being documented. And it would seem to me, okay, they're in the material world, you know, good chances they're not even a vegetarian. But many of them had like a celestial experience that they went to like some heavenly realm. So it's a little bit confusing. How does that correlate with our philosophy? Like how is it that people that are basically sinful, they're vikarmis, they attain some like heavenly pleasure or some spiritual experience at the time of death? Shouldn't they be punished and go to some hellish realm?
A lot of these people that are saying they had experiences of, you know, near death, they make up a lot of things.
If you watch the show, it's not made up stuff. It's like, it's real. People are just being honest with you. They're not like Christians. They're not trying to preach some gospel or anything. Some of them just have, it's not even, some of them don't even have Jesus in it. It's just some celestial experience. And they're just telling their experience, what happened to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, karma is very intricate. I mean, maybe they are having for some reason. Maybe they had some, although they're doing bad things, maybe they had some good karma also. I mean, yeah, Archita has some.
The bottom line from your stories is that they didn't stay there. It's not like they went to, you know, hang out with Indra for a couple of million years. No, they just had a flash of what possibility, just like, you know, Murghari. One of the reasons why he became such a pure devotee is because Narad Muni gave him a flash of what was going to happen if he didn't stop killing the animals. He saw that they were waiting to tear him apart. So he just had a flash. And that flash convinced him to become a devotee and follow Narad Muni's instructions. So these people are getting a little flash. Sometimes it's a flash of hell. Just like you know that story, that book. Who was it? I think it was in North Carolina somewhere. That Mataji was at the airport. And some guy came through. She gave him a second chance. And he saw the Yamadutas pulling, you know, Ajamila out of his body. And he said, nah, I don't want this book. He left. And then a few months later, he came through the same airport and saw it. He came running up. Give me that book. And she asked, why? She remembered him. Why did you change your mind? He had a heart attack. And in his heart attack state, he saw those Yamadutas. So now he wanted the book.
Yeah.
So people get flashes. It doesn't mean that's where they're going to go necessarily. They get a flash either of heavenly situations or hellish situations, but they're brought back. So now you can do the right thing and go to the right place.
So again, they may have done something very pious in their lives, so Krishna just let them get some, you know, some flash of, you know, of heaven, and then had to come back, and, you know, maybe that would give some inspiration to being more godly or something. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Go ahead.